We're going to take you straight to the papers now, and the German Christian Democratic Union Party has won a vote in a non-binding law about immigration policy. It was non-binding, but it wouldn't have got over the line without the votes of the far-right ADF. So the far-right and the right coming together to vote on this. Antonia's been looking at what the papers are saying.
That's quite right. Well, as you can imagine, it's on all the front pages in Germany because this seems to be the shattering of an age-old taboo in German politics that the centre, the right and the left don't collaborate with the far right. The front page of Bild, you have this headline, Bundestag votes in favour of asylum shake-up, Merz prevails, Merz being the president of the CDU in the Bundestag, red-green outraged. Red-green is, of course, the FDP, red, and the Green Party, green. So that's the left flank of the Bundestag, absolutely outraged. But they're not the only ones. Now, Frankfurter gives us this rundown of the events on the day yesterday. This headline reads, majority with regret. Now, what's interesting is it describes how before the debate, Merz, the CDU leader, did everything he could to make it clear to that house exactly where he stood as regards the AfD, to distance himself from the AfD. There had just been Holocaust commemorations going on in the Bundestag, and he made a point of telling the AfD that their political camp bore responsibility for that episode in Germany's history. So being extremely clear on where he stood. However, when the vote passed, with the help of their votes, he was absolutely taken to pieces by the Social Democrats and the Greens, including Chancellor Olaf Scholz calling the bill unforgivable. And apparently, in the House at that moment, his horror was palpable. He was imploring the Social Democrats and the Greens to come to the table to look for some form of compromise, because he's not that comfortable either with where he stands in history right now. Der Spiegel has this piece entitled, This Day Changed German Politics, and they say the firewall has come down. The traditional divide between the CDU and the AfD is now gone. And of course, with elections just around the corner in Germany, this is an extremely interesting development. The CDU were very likely, as an outcome of this election, to go into a coalition with one of those further left of centre parties that they now look like a less likely coalition partner for instance, the Social Democrats.
Let's go to Sweden for this next story. It's been described as an epidemic of gang violence. The homicide rate there surging to one of the highest in Europe. Some proposals have been made, though, by the Justice Ministry this week. What have you been reading, Antonia?
The proposals are quite surprising, Stuart. So the Kvartal has this story about a government inquiry which notes an increased crime rate, a currently overcrowded prison system, and a projected increase in the number of prison places needed. And this new inquiry has revealed that apparently there will be no legal obstacle to sending prisoners abroad to serve sentences. That's obviously an extremely controversial proposal. This same Justice Minister has also made a few other proposals recently that have been fairly shocking to a lot of people. As this Your Active article points out, there's been talk of lowering the age of legal responsibility to 14 and also stripping gang members of their citizenship. This latest proposal, sending prisoners abroad, extremely controversial, but it's not a first. Norway has had prisoners in the Netherlands since 2015, according to this article. Belgium briefly also had prisoners in the Netherlands. And in 2021, Denmark signed a $15 million deal with Kosovo to house 300 prisoners there. That was particularly controversial because of the difference, potential difference in prisoner treatment and human rights standards in the two countries. Those prisoners, I should add, have not gone there yet, but that remains on the cards. A huge push to for at least the appearance of much tougher law and order in Sweden amid a crime surge.
And finally from Antonia, something a little lighter. We need it on a day like today, don't we? Might polar bears be able to help us solve one of our pollution problems?
I want to preface this with might help us solve. They're not gonna solve it single-pordly. PFAS are a type of chemical that prove themselves extremely useful, but extremely toxic. They're in everything from waterproof clothing to non-stick frying pans to ski equipment. However, they're extremely toxic and they stick around in our environment and our bodies. One Norwegian researcher was intrigued when she noticed the frictionless slide of the polar bear on the ice sheets when hunting, as well as the fact that ice, despite the temperatures and despite the moisture, does not freeze to a polar bear's fur in the way it does to human hair, for instance. And I should add, however greasy the human hair may be. This led the scientists to discover that polar bear skin grease, apologies again, is made up of a concoction of cholesterol and other lipids that could be a future replacement for a lot of these PFAS chemicals, including, for instance, on ski equipment. So there you go.
There you go. We all know now. Good old polar bears. Thanks very much, Antonia Kerrigan, there with the papers on France 24.